What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get. They can help you find work in any industry. With just one interview at Express, you have a connection to endless jobs, whether you want a contract job, a new full-time role, or a summer job. Choose Express Employment Professionals. Express has more than 860 locally owned locations and no fees for job seekers. Visit expresspros.com today to find a location near you. Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require. Hey there, mamas. Everyone knows how it goes. You're giving it your all to breastfeed or pump for your little one. But there are times when you might need a little extra help. That's where Traditional Medicinals Mother's Milk comes in. Mother's Milk is an organic herbal tea blend designed to support healthy lactation for breastfeeding and pumping moms. Plus, it's caffeine-free. Learn more about Mother's Milk at traditionalmedicinals.com/mothersmilk. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Summer is almost here, and I'm so excited to go on vacation with my kids next month. We love going anywhere warm with a beach. I always make packing harder than it needs to be, but this year I'm doing all of my summer shopping at Macy's. I can find everything I need from bathing suits, sandals, summer dresses, shorts, even towels and sunscreen at Macy's. Whether you're packing for a destination vacation or planning a backyard staycation, Macy's has what you need. You can shop top brands like Levi's, Dolce Vita, Lacoste, and more. Shop at Macy's.com/ownyourstyle.
Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello, Jana. Hello, Catherine.
Hi. We had so much fun last week. So many people were laughing, saying they were like dying in their car. It was fun. Uh-oh.
I don't remember.
Shoot.
What happened last week? Refresh my memory.
We were, as she found something on my text messages.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
That was fun.
The best was my husband's response.
Oh, yeah. So listen to this. So we go out. We had a double date last night. It was Ian, Catherine, and her husband, Nick. Wow, I look like a grease ball. Okay.
You both look fantastic.
That's very sweet. I have not brushed my hair today, as you can tell. Nick goes, I just need to bring something up at the dinner table. He goes, I feel very left out that I'm the only one that has not seen Ian's penis.
He had no idea until he listened. He saw like my little teaser on my thing and he was like, wait, what? And so he went and listened. He came home. He was like, so you saw Ian's thing? And I was like, yeah.
Did you say pecker?
Yeah, he said pecker. I don't know if we can use that word or not.
Yeah, that was
sure. Let's do it.
Yeah,
so that's been like a running joke. And so at dinner last night, you know, I was like, we were all laughing about it. Nick felt very left out.
It's like when it's brought up, like at the dinner table, I was like, I can't look at him. Like, I can't look at Ian when we're talking about it. You know, it's very uncomfortable.
Can't get that angle out of your head.
Nope.
Is Ian fine with it? He thinks it's all fun and games.
Yeah. I mean, he's like, he thinks,
I love a confident guy.
Yeah. He goes, when I was like, I'm podcasting to get today. And he goes, have fun, you know, like what he says, I'm like, go laugh or have fun. Like, he doesn't mind that we kind of crack jokes or
good.
Cause it's like, he knows it's all in fun. And he, you know, he said, it's nice to hear you laugh. Like sometimes he's downstairs when I'm recording. So he's like, it's really sweet to hear you laugh.
When we laugh that hard, you know, did he text that day?
Yeah.
He was like, I hear a lot of laughing up there. I was like,
if you only knew what was going on.
Yeah.
How would you feel, Catherine, if your husband saw Jana's boobs?
He probably has.
Oh, really? Well, so much for my double standard theory.
It doesn't bother me. I guarantee you he has.
Here's the deal. I mean, I don't think he...
I mean, I don't know for
sure. I don't
sure.
think he has, but like...
How would he see them?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. She's just kind of, you know, no, probably not. I mean, pictures. I had pictures of like from your augmentation and stuff.
And
on
you
my
showed
phone. Him? No, I didn't
oh,
show
okay.
him.
Okay.
Okay. I didn't show him though. But I mean, I just feel like it would not bother me in the least. Had he even said, can I touch your boobs after the breast augmentation, I probably wouldn't have even cared.
Really? Oh, see, really?
Yeah. Mm-mm. I mean, I'm not saying I want him to go touch them, but it just, no, that wouldn't bother me.
Stop. Really?
Everyone wanted to touch her boobs after. But everyone like, wants to touch new boobs.
Look at Mark. His face is so.
I'm fascinated by that. I don't think that right, would
you know, though,
go
everyone
in my
wanted
house.
Wanted to touch them.
Yeah, but not like a husband's.
Well, not, I'm not saying he wanted to touch them. I'm just saying that wouldn't bother me. I'm just
if you would not care if my if your husband went like this on my boobs,
not
like
if
his
I was
hands.
There, no. I'm like that. We also talked about I don't care if they goes to a strip club.
Yeah, I think that's a Mark.
He's like, I'm kind of a dude. I'm sorry. I'm kind of like in those ways. I'm kind of a dude.
Do you, well, Nick listens to this podcast, so now I need to fear for my boobs when
no,
I see him
I mean,
next because he's going to come
like
right up to me.
Permission granted.
Oh, man. Anyway, I guess I shouldn't have said that.
No,
well, that's
I mean,
good. I think that's healthy, Catherine. You're not jealous at all. You don't have that in you.
I mean, yes, I have it in me, and I had it with like an ex, but with him, I don't.
Why?
Because I trust him. I don't think it would ever lead to anything. I trust you and I trust him.
Yeah, but like I trust you and I would never want you to touch.
I mean, I'm not touching anything. Let's just be straight with that.
But you see what I'm saying? Like I trust people. Like I trust you, Mark, and you, Easton, but I don't think your wives would want you touching my breasts.
I can confirm that.
Every woman hates me right now. Let me just take it back.
No, that's your truth. That's your truth.
No, I don't think so. I think
my wife would
different.
Be totally fine with it. My wife has no problem with it.
Okay, see? There you go. I mean, if I'm like there I'm and it saying. Literally is like, hey, I got new boobs. And it's like, oh, cool. Like that just wouldn't, it doesn't seem sexual. It doesn't seem, that
it's
just
not sexual. Exactly.
Does yeah. not bother me.
Okay, how about this? I don't know your husband. Does he work in an office situation?
No.
He like goes to the he who
yeah,
he has an
I,
office, but
I
he.
I see where you're going with this.
So. I don't.
Okay,
know.
But so he's in an office. He's with. He's at work.
Yeah.
One of his coworkers, younger female, got new boobs, and he felt them in a non-sexual way.
I would
and
have
told
a problem
you about
with that.
It. Okay. All right. All right. Good. Just check it.
So it's just me. It. You don't have a problem with.
Again, if I was there.
Yeah.
And
your
it was someone else
required.
That I trusted. I don't trust girls.
No,
I mean, girls
the
or whatever.
Worst.
But I trust you, so that wouldn't bother me.
Okay. So okay. So it's just the people that you trust. So it's like the random, like you said, the random girl at the office that he's like, oh, I felt her boobs. You'd be like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That feels better to me.
Does that feel
that
better
makes
for
sense,
everybody?
Yes.
Does it make everyone else feel more comfortable?
I like that a little bit better. Okay. What do you guys think?
Yeah. No, that makes sense to me. I get that. Easton's you're there awesome. And it's your friend. You're well, kind of coordinating the
and
situation.
And it's just like a, I mean, not like in a sexual way again.
But that was, the office thing wasn't sexual either.
We'll see. How would I know?
Okay, good point. Okay.
I wouldn't
that's
know
true.
That it wasn't.
You don't know what her mindset is or his mindset yeah. at the time.
Yeah. Jana would have to initiate that, though. She'd have to say, do you want to touch them? I think if he said, oh, you got your boobs in. Can I give him a squeeze?
Like, I kind of understand their relationship. This is not that far-fetched. Yeah.
Like, he's made comments about my boobs, but he's like my brother. Like, he's literally my brother. He's like my brother. So it's not
I mean,
weird.
That's the only reason it would yeah. be kind of weird, because it's like your brother touching your boobs. But
yeah. No, but like... You know, it's like when he makes comments, he doesn't say them in like a sexual way. It's just yeah. like, tell my no, wife to yeah. get those yeah. or something.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anywho.
Anywho. What else can we talk about?
That subject. We were talking last night, though, about grocery store flowers.
Oh, this is
there's
a good
a transition.
One.
Does your wife like grocery store flowers?
Now, it's funny you say that because I have purchased grocery store flowers in the last 4 hours.
Wow. Ooh, really? Does she
my
like them?
My wife's birthday is today.
Oh.
Well,
and you got them
I
at
mean,
the grocery store?
Yeah, but I didn't have a big Ralph's label on them. So what I did was I've been instructed to not buy any more vases because we have 30 vases. We don't need any more vases. So mm-hmm. when I go to the grocery store instead of the florist, because I wanted to do it at 6 in the morning. Mm. I went to the grocery store because I wanted to do it before she. So when she woke up, I wanted it to be a bouquet of flowers on her bedside table and a box of chocolate covered strawberries and her drink from Starbucks.
That's sweet.
So I went and did that at 6 o'clock this morning. And so I just got two big bouquets from Ralph's. No, it was Albertson's. Let's, you know, to be accurate. And then I put them in one of our vases and then I had that next to the bed. So that's why I bought the grocery store flowers.
The vase.
Okay. I like that. And that's what I said last night, because at first I'm like, I'm not big on grocery store flowers. Like I think, but I love getting any kind of flowers. Like flowers are great. Like you can pick them from the freaking garden outside. Like I'm cool with that. Where my issue lies is that if you get me grocery store flowers and then you then make me have to put it in a vase and cut it and do all the work.
Oh, I see.
Like still in the paper wrapped up from the grocery store.
Like, yes. And then we were talking about it last night too, because Ian, he's so sweet. But like there was just, they were just laying on the counter and I'm like, how do I know they're for me? Like, I don't know, like his mom was in town and like, you know, and so, and he's like, who would they be for? Like, who else would they be for? And I'm like, well, I don't know. Like, you know, I'm not going to like make up that they're for me. Like you didn't come walking in being like, here, babe, I got you flowers. Right. He's like, well, like, but I got them for you and they're on the table. I'm like, well, how do I know they're like are mine? And then, you know, and then we kind of started going in the topic of grocery store flowers.
Yeah. Oh, I've gotten lots of grocery store flowers.
I don't care really where they're from. I just don't want to do the work if you do get them from the grocery store. Put them in the vase like Mark did.
Yeah. I mean, that was fair. Good presentation. Yeah.
Thank you.
You like flowers the presentation of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
And I do like them to come and be like, you know, so Ian, he then takes the, so the, he did it again with an orchid. There was an orchid sitting there it was just really cute. And I was just like, oh, babe, what are these? And he goes, oh yeah, I got you flowers. And I was like, oh, okay. Thanks. I was like, I was like, I just didn't know they were for me. And that's when he goes into the whole like, well, how do you like, of course they're for you. Like this is your house and they're flowers. And I was like, well, I don't know. And so then he takes them and he walks and he goes, honey, I'm home and I've brought you beautiful flowers from the store. Here are these new beginning orchids for you. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, there may be a happy medium. What? Between that and just tossing them on the counter, there might be somewhere in between.
Yeah. Like just so, like, I don't know. Am I crazy for thinking that?
No, I agree. What about off-ramp flowers?
Huh?
Well, that might be unique to Southern California, but when you're out here and you get off the freeway, especially around Valentine's Day, there's guys there at the exit ramp selling you flowers. So if you got 10 bucks on you or $5 on it, you can toss that to them. They'll give you the flowers. It's the least possible effort a guy can do.
Ooh, we don't have that option here.
I will just say any effort is amazing. So like any, that's why I think like them just cutting them from a garden or go, like I think any flowers are great. Having said that, I still eventually, you know, maybe once a year have the nice like.
Well, I think grocery store flowers seems like an afterthought. You're at the grocery store and you get flowers. But I think in their defense, they said, no, like you should see that I'm thinking about you. I'm at the grocery store and I got you flowers.
See, that's how I see it. I don't see it as an afterthought. See, I don't see it as an afterthought. Because, like, why would you go to this grocery store to get grocery store flowers? Unless you remark that because you needed them that early. Yeah. It's 6 a.m.
It's literally the only thing I bought.
Yeah. So it's like, that makes sense to me. But, like, they're going to the grocery store to get hummus and carrots
that's
and
what I'm
steak.
Saying. So it seems like an afterthought.
No, that's sweet that they're then being like, oh, and now I'm going to get something for my wife, like, to make her smile.
Well, that's what they were saying. But I feel like we weren't agreeing with that.
Yeah. You thought
it was just me.
Yeah. Well, we agree to disagree.
What about the argument that flowers are silly? They're just going to die in a couple of days. We shouldn't be wasting because they're very expensive. We shouldn't be wasting all this money on flowers.
I don't love flowers.
I just like them every once in a while.
We also had the discussion of no more greeting cards. We don't buy each other greeting cards anymore because they're really quite expensive. You know, they're like $8 nowadays for a greeting card, and you're just going to throw it out in a couple of days or a couple of weeks. We've decided no more greeting cards. If we want to give each other a handwritten note, that's fine, but no more greeting cards.
Yeah, I like handwritten notes.
Yes.
That's my favorite thing. I love that so much. I mean, I can't even see in my mirror because Ian writes me stuff on my mirror like almost every day. So it's sweet.
In the steam?
Well, you can still see it, but it's he sharpies it.
Or like he,
or not, what's that called? Like a magic like
dry
or like
erase.
a dry erase marker on the mirror.
It's there forever.
No. I can't undo it. No, but like, I love that. Like the little notes and stuff.
Sweet, yeah.
So yeah, cards, it's like, meh. Like someone else is writing those words. Like you should, I like them having
Remember when
it.
I gave you that gift and the greeting card was still in there, but I forgot to do anything with it. Yeah. You're like, you can have this back and give it to somebody else.
Yeah, she put a card in my...
I just forgot.
And then didn't even write anything in it. So I was like, here you go.
Sorry.
I've never thought of dry erase on a mirror. I'm going to have to do that. It's Valentine's cute. Day is coming up.
No, see?
Yeah, so when she goes to bed, go in there. Because, I mean, on my one mirror, I mean, he wrote me this long thing in the middle of my mirror. And I woke up. I just remember walking in and being like, that's so sweet. Like, you would, again, like, you wouldn't, I would never have thought of that.
No, I like it. I'm going to, I might have to try that. I got to test it first and make sure I'm not ruining the mirror.
Here's another trick. You take like a little bit of oil or like a little bit of butter, and then you write it on the mirror the night before, and it's, you can't see it. It'll be clear. And then when she takes a shower, it'll look like someone came into the room and wrote it in the steam, and she'll think there's a ghost in the house. It's really funny.
It's terrifying.
Okay.
Happy Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's
Day. There's a ghost in your house.
Oh, man.
Wow. Well, pivoting to a different conversation. Mm-hmm. We've got a really cool guest coming on. He's an author. He has a book called Love Unfudged on Amazon today. but I'm super excited to hear his story, and yeah, it's about getting your relationship crap together. Love is patient, love is blind until it's not. So yeah, I'm super excited to get on. I'm super excited to get him on. So let's take a break and then let's meet Gary.
Hey there. Did you know that May is Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is celebrating by highlighting some cool AAPI-owned brands like Cardon, Kaja, Amelia George, and Hey Maeve. I mean, I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. It's important. But you know what? The best reason to check out these brands is that they're just really awesome. Seriously, you need to check them out. And you know what else? You have a great opportunity to open up access to college for AAPI students and help them succeed by donating to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. You can donate online or just round up your purchase at Macy's when you check out. So do what you can to help. Join Macy's and round up your purchase to the nearest dollar at checkout to support APIA Scholars. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store.
So I've recently got some boots in the mail that I had to try because I'm a boot girl. I love boots, but wow, I'm never going back. Tecovas, you guys, this festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather and custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots.
What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Not a website, but a person in your community that would help you for free? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get. Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert you can trust, and they never charge a fee to help with your job search. Go to expresspros.com to find the office near you or download the Express Jobs app to get started. With a wide range of opportunities in a variety of industries, from welding to sales, forklift operator to customer service, the team at Express is ready to help you or someone you know take the next career step. Whether you're looking for a contract job for the summer or a new full-time role, turn to Express Employment. Interviewing with Express Employment Professionals can be as easy as a phone call, and one application with Express puts you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community. Don't go in your job search alone. Visit expresspros.com today.
Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require.
I can't hear you. Hello.
Was that a fake English accent?
I have the worst accents ever, and I apologize.
I know. I was going to say that.
It's absolutely terrible.
And you're persistent. I love your relentlessness, though. That's good.
But I love your accent. My goodness gracious.
I've been working on it a long time.
Been working on it a long time. Like, I just,
that's
like,
right.
God, do you hate it when people do what I just did?
Yeah.
I love it.
That's fantastic. Tough love. Love it.
I love
it.
Tough love.
Where are you from originally?
Glasgow, Scotland.
Okay. So I went to a friend's wedding in Portpatrick.
All right. Okay.
And we stayed we flew into Glasgow, right?
Actually, you say it like Glasgow. So it's like Glasgow.
Glasgow.
I actually gave you the whole thing there too. You should be practicing that.
Glasgow. I didn't get a chance to go to Glasgow, but I want to go back because I tell you what, that was, I mean, you know this because you're from there, but that was the most beautiful country I have ever been to.
Yeah, it's pretty stunning. And Glasgow's a great city for visiting.
Yeah, I mean,
cool stuff to do.
It's like stunning, but I want to get into, you know, you're very big obviously in the self-help, motivational. You've got your book out called Love Unfucked. Where, like, what was your journey with relationships to get to writing those books?
So it was kind of like the other way for me. So a lot of people get into the personal development work from sorting something out in the life. Actually, it was the other way. I was kind of like a student of the method of, like, philosophy. And so I got into it that way, like trying to understand what was going on. And then using that in my life, like seeing how the philosophy actually works. So the book is less based on my experience, even though there's little bits of it in there. It's more like this kind of, if you like a pathway for people, like a philosophical pathway, if you like, which I use in my life. I use it daily, you know. There's nothing in that book that's not real for me. It's all real. I use it. I talk that way. I live that way. And I'm not going to say, oh, that's the key to having a great relationship, but it certainly makes mine a lot more workable. Let's put it that way.
So what is the thing that you and your wife do that you think is kind of like the key? I mean, I know you said there isn't a key, but what is like a few things that makes y'all's relationship work?
I don't expect her to be any way other than the way she is. And vice versa. Like, who the hell am I to tell her the way she should be? Mm-hmm. She's her own person. That I have no expectation of my wife. She doesn't, just as long as she's kind of around, that's good. Mm-hmm. You know, if she's in a pissy mood or something, that's fine.
It's like, okay, that's her mood. Don't, you know, take that on.
You know, like, and I don't even do that with my children, but I've got a lot of space for my wife to be herself. Mm. And authentically just be herself. Like, she doesn't have to be any way with me. And, you know, that's the same with her. Like, she doesn't, there's no like, you need to be this way so that I can be this way, or you need to be that way so that I can be that way. Like, we don't have that dynamic. I'm not saying we haven't had that dynamic, but we don't have that dynamic any longer. And that's a big part of it. It's letting go of how people are supposed to be and actually loving the person they are.
What do you think is like the biggest mistake that couples make?
That it's supposed to be 50-50.
Okay, explain that.
That's an illusion. It's just
how
nonsense.
So?
Well, if you just think of the notion, right, think of like philosophically how that would set up, right? Just think of like two people, 50-50. Mostly the way human beings work is I'm basically going to just sit and observe you and make sure you're doing your 50. So that's where all my complaints are. That's when we start talking about my needs aren't being met, which is a whole other thing, by the way, because whatever needs you have as a human being are often stuff you haven't reconciled for yourself from your own past that maybe you need to do a little bit of work on, which is okay. It's not like those things aren't real. They're real. But it just makes it really challenging when you make that your partner's problem, like something they've got to know. You know, it's not that they can't work you with it through it or support you with it or anything like that. Of course they can. But when they have to start, you know, like twisting their arms through the back of the leg and stuff to try and, you know, meet you where you are, you just got to constantly, I mean, that's going to be the place where you're going to, your relationship's going to live and die. So to be in a relationship requires you to kind of be introspective a lot of the time, which is sometimes challenging because we live in a dynamic of blame, you know, so we live in this, oh, you did and then I didn't. And like I said, it's not like I'm walking about on air. I've had that relationship. It was terrible. It was horrible. And it didn't work. It just didn't work. It was unworkable. It was constantly, oh, you need to. No, I did. And then you need to. So we just end up in this. Your relationship becomes more of a judgment and observation than actually what is it that makes this thing work or could make it work or make it work great for you.
Good. Mm-hmm. I like that.
So then what do you need to do then?
Yeah, it's really, at the beginning, it's kind of confronting, you know, it's in fact, it's very confronting because you start to see all the things you have been doing that make it not work. It's hard to see yourself in a dynamic of a partnership because their eyes are on you and your eyes are on them. Mm. So it's really hard to see yourself. You're too busy defending yourself, you know, in your little bit of territory, you know. And again, you know, like, that's why a lot of the kind of advice and stuff that's out there about it is organized around that. So it's all about tips and tricks on how to make this kind of territory thing work. And it's never, I mean, I believe anyway, like all the good transformational work you do, all the kind of work you do on yourself as a human being, the really good stuff is really hard. Mm. Like, it's not easy, you know, it's just not. But it's so worthwhile. It opens up so many pathways for you, so many realizations, so many like, oh my gosh. Because, you know, whether we like it or not as human beings, when each of us is around, life has a certain flavor. You know, we're not a blank canvas. Mm-hmm. We're a something, right? And we've become a something. And it would be a little naive to think that something isn't playing out in your relationship in a negative way. Mm-hmm.
So you basically then are just focusing on yourself.
Absolutely. You have to, like, if you at least to get your kind of feet on the ground, mm-hmm. like, you know, to get yourself set about what this thing's about. There's no guarantee that that'll make your relationship work. And I actually talk about that in this book. I actually talk about how to split up, right? Which seems like the antithesis of every relationship book, but not mine. But I wanted people to really understand, like, you have to get your feet set about you, who you are, what you're about, how you'll undermine, how you'll sabotage what's good. And then, like, start to come to terms with, if you think of a relationship, right, like, it's kind of like a spoken and unspoken agreement between two people, right? So there's things that when we're in a relationship, we don't necessarily have to talk about that, but we both know that that's a no. Right. There's things like that. Right. And then there's things that we've talked about. But what we never do is deal with the agreement that we're going to have to make with ourselves, because we know what we do. Right. Yeah. We know, like, oh, yeah, this is the thing that I'll get and that won't go well. Mm-hmm. And we try and overcome it. So In the book, I talk you through, like, there's a point where you have to get to the agreement with yourself. And when you're there, you're actually grounded and able to make an agreement with somebody else. You're actually in a spot where you can say, you know, I can do this, right? It's not like, oh God, I hope that thing turns out. It's really about kind of getting yourself settled down. And it's not Pollyannish. Like, there's bits in the book where I just say, if your relationship fundamentally isn't working, you need to face that truth. You need to stop pretending and come to terms with it.
So that's something that I was going to bring up to you, because I have a lot of, I got divorced last year. And, you know, I have a lot of people reach out to me saying, like, when did you know enough was enough? And it's like, you know, I went through 7 years of just back and forth hell and trauma and abuse and, you know, affairs. And it's like, it's so hard, because when you hear someone saying that they're going to change and they're going to be a different version, it's hard to not be like, well, shoot, I don't want the next person to get the change version that I've like waited for. And then like after so many times, it's like, it's so hard to leave. But I feel like when you do leave, like that is when you truly start to notice like, oh wow, like that wasn't normal. Or now I, you know, I feel lighter here. Like you don't realize how much like weight the relationship is like holding on you.
Yeah. I mean, you'll get a lot of relief for sure. Mm-hmm. Right. But if you just use your example there, which is a brilliant example, because that's exactly what people say to themselves. Mm-hmm. You have to get through this process of convincing yourself. Mm-hmm. And then there's a point in that when you realize this convincing is just BS.
Yeah.
Right. But that's not true just about relationships. This is what people do in life. Right. We tolerate, we put up with, because we feel as if we can overcome it.
Yeah. Or we can change it. You know, like we are capable of changing someone's choices and behaviors.
There's definitely a part of that. But if you look in the background of the way people work, if you kind of get, you would think, well, this is, I'm in something right now that's terrible for me, right? Like, this is terrible. What you're really more afraid of is the alternative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Being alone.
It's not this, it's like that,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, whatever that is. Which is a fundamental fear for people. It's a fear of the uncertain, mm-hmm. right? Of the unknown, because you're exposed and you're vulnerable and you're kind of loose. You know, people hate that experience. So by and large, people will stay in situations that fundamentally do not work for them for little more than the knowledge that at least they know it.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll grind that out, like sometimes like in complete misery. Right, in complete misery. And you have to get like the kind of internal noise that one has about that when you're in it. It's a lot of convincing. It's a lot of yeah button. It's a lot of, you know, well, you have to really, you know, so it gets complex. And that internal noise, it gets complex. It gets layered. It takes a while before you're kind of like, whoa, wait a minute here. No, this is not good for me. This is... And, you know, so a lot of what I do with people is provide them with the kind of work and the kind of thinking that lets them, if that's the kind of situation they're in, they'll get to that realization quicker, mm-hmm. certainly quicker.
Yeah, that's so hard. But you're so right. Like, I remember, you know, when my friends are all like, okay, Jana, like enough is enough. The alternative is like, well, I don't want anyone around my kids and, you know, I don't want to have to split holidays and I don't want to be alone and no one's going to, who the heck's going to want to be with me? I've got two kids, I'm divorced. Like, you know, there's all this, like, I don't want to be alone forever. And I think those fears are, and I'm like, I don't want to date. I don't want to like, and mostly it was, you know, 90% of it. Well, I'd say 80 was like, you know, no, 90, like not being with my kids, you know, and just like someone else being around them. And like that alternative sucked. But I mean, you're right. It's like, you just have to realize, and I don't know, do you like the quote when people say like, they're showing you who they are, so believe them? Or no?
I think we're all, look, here's what relationships do. Whether we like it or not, this is what's so. When you get two people together, whatever's unresolved from their own past is going to come up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's coming up. And you can't, it's like trying to keep a beach ball under the water. You can't, right? So whatever you haven't resolved for yourself, I talk about this in the book, most relationships start out as a solution to something for the people involved. So it's a solution to something. And The vast majority of the time, it's some personal item with themselves that they've never quite been able to resolve, that they see this other person and it seems to fit. It's like, oh my gosh. That's why we talk about the one, because there's something about them that takes care of this, whatever this is currently missing. Once you get into a relationship, you realize that it's not filled at all. That thing isn't taken care of. In fact, it's still there. But it's now going to play out between two people. You know, whether we like it or not, you know, we are very much driven by what's in the background of our minds, not what's in the foreground. That's why determination couldn't see you through that. Like, it couldn't, because, quote unquote, the truth will out, right? And it's an unresolved truth. In relationships, people will do really, really, really shitty things. Mm-hmm. Like just really shitty things, they'll do them. From my perspective and in the work that I do, it would be really easy just for me to go, well, that makes you a terrible person and that and that. No, I tend to look at like, wow, how come you ended up there? Like, what the heck happened that you landed on that spot, and that's how you see life, and that's how you treat people, and that's how you interact with others, and that's how you handle things like love and trust and, you know, and integrity and loyalty. And like, whoa, you know, I'm fascinated by that, because we're not fully conscious of how we end up where we're at. We just know we're there. Mm-hmm. And that's not to let anybody off the hook or make excuses for people. It's not about that at all. In fact, you know, you're going to have to deal with yourself and deal with the consequences of not only who you are, but who you've been. But at the same time, you know, it's definitely a fascinating thing when you actually track back in your own life and see how the heck, because we've no clear direction in our head, like, I'm just going to be this kind of person and that kind of person. We just kind of weave our way through it. And a lot of my work is doing that with people, is having you fundamentally and profoundly connected to your own machinery in a way that actually resonates with you and gives you the power to make different choices in your own life.
Mm-hmm. What, like, now, okay, so now that I'm in a new relationship now, do you ever tell anyone, like, these are certain red flags to look out for in a new relationship? No?
No. That's a red flag.
Asking about a red flag?
Because it's about you and not the other one. That's what you're saying. You have to think about yourself. Talk about yourself.
That's a red flag. And I'll tell you a big problem you'll have.
Hey there. Did you know that May is Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is celebrating by highlighting some cool AAPI-owned brands like Cardon, Kaja, Amelia George, and Hey Maeve. I mean, I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. It's important. But you know what? The best reason to check out these brands is that they're just really awesome. Seriously, you need to check them out. And you know what else? You have a great opportunity to open up access to college for AAPI students and help them succeed by donating to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. You can donate online or just round up your purchase at Macy's when you check out. So do what you can to help. Join Macy's and round up your purchase to the nearest dollar at checkout to support APIA Scholars. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store.
So I've recently got some boots in the mail that I had to try because I'm a boot girl. I love boots. But wow, I'm never going back to Tecovas, you guys. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecova store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather and custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots. What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Not a website, but a person in your community that would help you for free? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get. Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert you can trust, and they never charge a fee to help with your job search. Go to expresspros.com to find the office near you or download the Express Jobs app to get started. With a wide range of opportunities in a variety of industries, from welding to sales, forklift operator to customer service, the team at Express is ready to help you or someone you know take the next career step. Whether you're looking for a contract job for the summer or a new full-time role, turn to Express Employment. Interviewing with Express Employment professionals can be as easy as a phone call, and one application with Express puts you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community. Don't go in your job search alone. Visit expresspros.com today. Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle require.
You won't after I tell you this, but thank God we're talking. Mm-hmm. This is what an awful lot of people do. They use the last thing as some kind of template for the next thing. Mm-hmm. So whatever the last thing was, it gets to live on here. Mm-hmm. And it gets to live on. Like you're always finding evidence. And this is part of the work you do on yourself. Like, am I getting a clear look at this? Or is this some kind of coloring from the past that's at play here? What you'll wrestle with at the beginning is something called trust, right? And I get it in the book, like, what it is, what is trust, right? Like, what is it? And when you trust somebody, what are you looking at? What are you relying on? And when they ask you to trust them, what are they relying on? Which is not the same. They're relying on something else. So when if I say to you, trust me, I'm saying that to you, and I've got a certain gauge for what that is and isn't. If you're somebody who's listening to that, you're playing by a different set of rules when it comes to trust than I am, even though we are talking about the same thing. So that's why getting complete with the past is so important for all human beings. When I say getting complete, just getting settled with. And how you can tell you're settled with something is there's zero emotional attachment to it, like nothing, right? And you can get there, right? It's not rocket science. You can get there. It's a process of acceptance and letting go of judgment and, you know, kind of getting somebody's humanity without necessarily, it's never about letting them off the hook. It's never about, in fact, it's got nothing to do with the dynamic of blame. It's about somebody who's interested in having something be complete in such a way that you can move on. No, your new relationship should be all about what you're creating.
Well, and see, that's where I'm like, because you brought up a good word, like sabotage, because I have tried in the beginning to sabotage it just because I'm like,
yeah,
I just got out of a relationship where I couldn't trust a man I'm like, of course this new man's going to cheat and lie and be, gaslight and have mean words. Like, of course, like it's all sweet now, the honeymoon phase. I'm like, you're going to end up just doing the same thing. And he's like, you can't. He's like, I'm not your ex. And I'm like, well, I don't know that.
Right.
And then I just sabotage it. And then he's like, stop trying to push me away.
Right. So I'll use, again, it's a really common thing, right? So it's more human than you would think, right? It's not necessarily you. It's more like this is what human beings do. But if you look at like the things that you say, right? Of course you're going to do this. And of course you're going to do that. And of course you're going to do this. And then you're going to be like this because like everybody else and da, da, da. in that moment, when you're saying those things, what way would you say you are? You're being what?
Bitchy.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
But I'm protecting myself. Like, I think I'm like, I'm so afraid. Well, that's a justification.
You got to watch that. You can't.
No.
You can't go there.
Well, see? I don't think I'm like deserving of it too. So it's like because of my past and like my history.
Though.
Yeah, it's
that's
like
psychological. It's very psychological. You'll end up down a tunnel. Uh-huh. You just got to look in that moment. You're being cynical.
Okay.
Right? Now, in this relationship with this person, in that moment, you're being cynical.
Okay.
So now you're going to get the results called cynical.
I got to Google cynical because like I know the word, but I don't actually know what it means.
Right. It's kind of like dismissive and okay. Yeah. Like, you know, no matter what somebody does or says, so I was like, yeah, but
got it.
You don't, yeah. You know, it's that kind of cynicism. So, okay. And it's a fundamental state for all of us about various things. But in that moment, when you're being that way with your partner, you're now being cynical, right? Even though you would profess to say, I love you. Right now, I'm being cynical. Mm-hmm. So I'm bringing cynicism to the table. Which again, okay, that's fine. As long as you know that's what you're bringing to the table. See, what you were going to say was, here's why I'm cynical. That'll actually make no difference in the quality of your relationship. Understanding that you're being cynical will make a difference in the quality of your relationship. Now, you might have concerns. Mm-hmm. You might have worries. Mm-hmm. You might have things on your mind. You might have fears. Mm-hmm. And it would be entirely appropriate for if they're there for you, if your partner's open to you having that kind of conversation in that moment, that you would be able to vocalize those. Mm-hmm. But more like, here's what's rattling around in my cage, rather than, yeah, but you, mm-hmm. you understand mm-hmm. the difference? Mm-hmm. Like I'm getting like, this is what I wrestle with as a human being. Right? Like I'm being, and it's important that you understand what you're wrestling with. It's important that you know, like, you know, yeah, I wrestle with that. Like, that's a thing for me. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to offer you something for you personally. Are you open for me to give you?
Please, like, I'm open to any and all.
All right. There's some unresolved thing about you, about being loved or lovable from being a kid. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how it was, but you had that kind of experience, like you're just not loved or known or appreciated, something like that.
Yeah. No, and for sure. I mean, that's the bit.
Manifesting mm-hmm. over and over and over. And so it manifests in the ways and the people you choose to share your life with, and in some ways. But in other ways, if someone shows up in your life who's not that way, mm-hmm. you'll diminish their love for you because they can't coexist with what you fundamentally believe to be true. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah.
Right. I don't want to sound like I'm some kind of freaking psychic or something because I'm not. But I do want you to know, like, we are very much driven by what's in the background of our thoughts, mm-hmm. not by what's in the fore, not by our logic. Mm-hmm. There's like the logic you would say. And then there's the logic that drives you, mm-hmm. right? So as uncomfortable as it is to hear, any relationship you've been in has been no accident, mm-hmm. right? It's been something you've been, whether you're conscious of this or not, doesn't matter. It's something you've been available for, mm-hmm. even though you might not want it.
Yeah.
You're available for it. Mm-hmm. So I would invite you to try on that the work that if I were you, that I'd be interested in doing would be like getting to the heart of that experience yourself not being loved. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's what will cause more damage than anything. In fact, I would assert has caused the most damage with you.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's 1,000%. I mean, even to this day, like, you know.
I don't even know you.
I love it.
No, I mean, it's so true. Because I mean, even to this day, it's like I'm still trying to get the love from my ex-husband who hates me, you know? And I'm like, well, why do you hate me? You're the one that ruined. It's like, I'm still trying to get love from people that, you know, but it all stems back to my father because he left and I was in love, you know, like the little girl. And like, I know all that, but I can't.
No, you don't.
But I know it, but I don't believe that like I am love. So it's like.
No. So when he left, right? When your dad left.
Yeah.
All right. You ready? I'm going to rock you now. All right, so put your freaking seatbelts on. All right, so how old were you when he left?
Well, he started to be absent when I was 5, but he officially left the family when I was 13.
All right, and then between the ages of 5 and 13, would he come and go?
Yeah, I just felt like he was always angry and I would want to like have that like dad, but like he never answered me back. And so it just felt like, because he wasn't really like, and now we have a great relationship, but he wasn't present. And he was always very angry and I was scared of him.
What did you make that mean?
Oh, that I'm not a good girl, that I'm not worth it. I'm not lovable. I'm not.
No, you got to sit with me a minute. You got to think for a sec.
Uh-huh.
It's too flippant.
Too flippant.
Right. So I need you to kind of be with me for a moment. Okay, just be with me for a moment.
Yeah,
right? I want you to kind of put yourself back then. Like, just let your thoughts go back to some of those incidents, because some of them are more alive than others. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember the time when, right, you've got a couple of those in mind, right?
Yeah.
Why you have those in mind, by the way, is because they were pivotal.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a memory of that moment, but you also have all the emotional attachment to that moment, and it's still here.
Mm-hmm.
So if I talk to you about that moment, you start to share with me that moment, all of those experiences will be right. You'll feel like you're there,
mm-hmm.
right? As it falls out of your mouth.
Yeah.
So I want you to kind of recollect one of those moments. You don't even have to tell me it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's when you recollect the moment. Kind of be in the presence of the moment. Like that moment that you remember when he... And you, and the earliest one you can remember, just the first one, like, yeah, I was probably blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sitting or standing or, you know, where were you? And what do you remember about what was going on around you? And he said, da, da, da. And you had said, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, what did you say to yourself?
I'm not safe.
Good. Good job. Which still rattles around in your cage. That's why you're so independent.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
fearfully independent. You're not easy to love.
No.
You're hard to love.
Yeah.
Because you're so robust, so, you know. So if you're a challenge for somebody to love. And yet, your fundamental complaint is, I'm not loved. I'm not safe. I'm not loved. Do you know how I knew that was the words? Like you said, I'm not safe. Do you know why I knew that was it? Because it's not sophisticated, it's simple.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a kid would say to themselves. Now, you see how, like, right now your fucking cage is rattled? You get that? You're doing great. You're doing great. Let it all up.
Yeah.
Let it all up. Let all that shit up. It's good. This is good stuff for you.
Oh, I just hate it because I don't want it to ruin. Like, I don't want to not be lovable because that's all I want is love.
That's all the independence talking right now.
Yeah.
Like, just let it be.
Yeah.
Don't wrestle with it. Just let it be. Just let it be. Let it be itself. You don't have to make that be any other way than the way that it is.
Uh-huh.
See, the wrestling with something like that is actually what keeps in existence. So if I keep wrestling with that I'm not enough, I'm living a life of I'm not enough. If I let it be itself, if I give it a little bit of room for itself, I'm not defined by it. So, but this is the sort of work that you need to do. You need to kind of do that work to kind of peel back some layers and deal with your own sentence. See, that's why my relationship book, it's not about fucking getting along with somebody else. That's part of it. Mm. But it's like, who is in this fucking relationship? Well, and your relationship is, I'm not safe, so back the fuck off. That's who's in your relationship.
Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. And it's been in your relationship and it's pushed people away who said they did love you.
The right people. Right. Yeah.
So then that's out. And then, but again, it's funny. This is this kind of cycle of, I dealt with this in my second book was called Wise. No, that was my third book. It was called Stop Doing That. And I break down like what your self-sabotage is really all about, like what it actually is doing and why it does what it does. And unless you fully understand it, you'll just live a life of being run by it. It'll run you. And you'll get so focused on your circumstances that you won't see what's running it. So if you think, like, if my internal mechanism, so part of mine is I'm not smart enough. Mm. Right? That's part of my internal mechanism. I'm a New York Times bestselling author. Mm-hmm. And my internal mechanism is I'm not smart enough. So I had to really recognize what was at play in my life before I could ever even write a book. But that never goes away. It comes up. It shows up. And it starts to kind of influence my decisions and my thoughts. Mm-hmm. If I don't take responsibility for it. Because it's, again, something from when I was a kid that I learned that I would now have to overcome to make it in this life. You get why it's there. It's more survival than we'd like to imagine.
Yeah.
But the background noise, it's not you. It's automatically what's there with you. Why you got moved by that is because you started to really see what that life has actually been like for you. Mm-hmm. The life of that noise. And that's what you have to start really understanding, like what you're sentencing yourself to. It's not about finding the right person. It's about finally coming to terms with the one you've become. Mm-hmm. I assert that human beings can fucking love anybody. I've got fucking t-shirts that I love. Like, authentically, I love it. Like, I fucking, you know, I do. I get objects, you know, like guitars and you know, oh my God, I love that thing. I do. And of course, I love my wife and I love my children dearly. But at the same time, it was a struggle for me growing up was being able to say it. Like, I couldn't get it out of my mouth. And so I had to reinvent myself in my 40s to become a loving man. Because if I looked at who I'd been, like if you look in your relationship, you're being cynical, mm-hmm. right? And you're being cynical a lot more than you think you are. Mm-hmm. And in those moments where you catch yourself being cynical, you're like, hold on, man. I want this to be about love. I'm going to be fucking loving right now. Mm-hmm. I said I'd be loving and I'm going to deal with this in a loving way, not a cynical way. Mm-hmm. You're already interrupting those patterns. You're already changing your pathway. And for me, when I really started to take myself on like that, it was expressing my love to people, taking the time, look them in the eye and say, I love you. And it was weird at the beginning, you know, it was weird. I felt as if somebody had taken over my body. You know, it's kind of, I love you. I couldn't
it's like you practicing hugs.
I know. The therapist right. makes me practice hugs because I don't.
Right. Like no, that's affection. Good. It helps yeah. to break down some of your default, mm-hmm. what in my kind of field of philosophy, ontology, it kind of breaks down some of your default ways of being and acting. Mm-hmm. So you're actively breaking them down. Therapists call it cognitive behavioral therapy, but it's been around for about 2,000 years. But anyway, Stoics were doing it. But behaving in ways that are more consistent with who you would say you are, mm-hmm. in the absence of the feelings.
For sure.
So it's doing in the absence of feeling. So sometimes I might feel cynical, but I catch myself like, oh, I'm doing that thing that I do. And I'm about to make this relationship about that too. Mm-hmm. I'm going to love this person. And I might even say, listen, this is awkward for me. This is not, I am not comfortable right now. And I think we should probably hug. Right? Like, that's you dealing with yourself.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you start acknowledging things like that, that's one of the very few times in your day when you'll actually be being authentically you. Mm. Instead of the you that you've kind of built up to try and make it in this life.
I have like one last question that just came from, you know, me saying that I didn't feel safe. When I look back on my relationship with my ex-husband or any relationship that was really my longer ones, but they were all abusive and I was so unsafe in those. And the other ones right. I had pushed away. So what is that? Is that like...
You have to prove it true.
Uh-huh. Ah, there you
justify,
go.
To justify yeah. your cynicism.
Yep. There you go.
Wow.
So you have to prove it is accurate. Yep. Then you can justify being independent and cynical.
Like, yep, I knew you're going to hit me because I'm not safe with you.
It. Here we go again. Yep. This is why I'm independent and cynical.
Yep. Yep.
So ultimately, that's kind of like what all human beings are driven to do is to prove what they've subconsciously concluded to be true. So they prove it. And then they overcome it. And then they prove it. And then they overcome it.
Yep.
And then they prove it. And they overcome it. And they prove it. And they overcome it. And then they fucking die.
Yep. Oh, my God.
And then they call it a life. Until you read some of my books and you're like, what the fuck? What am I doing? Stop. I want to go off. This is BS. I want to do something else. I want to be somebody else. And I say, you can be somebody else. You can actually be someone else. Right? But you have to fully see, acknowledge, and take responsibility for who you've become first.
Damn, Gary.
Preach.
Freaking laying the gauntlet. I am obsessed with you. Thank you so much. I'm going to read Love Unfiltered and every right other now. Book right now. I'm going on Amazon immediately. And so is everyone that's listening right now.
Awesome.
But thank you. I appreciate your words, and I appreciate you grounding this conversation.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I just want to thank you for your generosity and sharing yourself with so many people, because, you know, when somebody does that, when they kind of get that vulnerable, it makes a difference for lots of people. And so you can sit there knowing that you got a little something for yourself, but at the same time, like, you should know that there's people out there who just got rocked by what you shared and how you shared it. And you're inspiring people to take themselves on and change their own lives. And, you know, that takes a lot, you know, because in this format and doing what we do, right, there's a lot of looking good and there's a lot of, like, you know, having to keep your shit together. And and I say, for what? You know, like, admitting you don't have your shit together is the new having your shit together.
Amen to that, Gary. Well, thank you so much, babe. I appreciate it. And we'll have you back on for sure. So thank
you. You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Thanks, Gary. All right. Bye, Gary. I'll work on my accents. Don't worry. Bye, honey.
Thank you.
See ya.
Bye.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I love him.
That is my kind of, like, just
therapist.
Just love. Like oh, I loved it.
I just, like, because I had to prove it over and over that I wasn't safe.
Yeah.
It's like, that is
true. You had to prove it true.
And then I'm like, yeah, wow.
Because we've always kind of wondered, like, what is that? Like, why does that happen?
And it's, wow.
I just like how it is, because I'm trying to go that way in therapy anyway now, but it's like really just looking at yourself.
Yeah.
Not why are things in this relationship doing this? Why are, like, and that is just, it's powerful, because if you just own yourself and take care of yourself.
And not what's Nick doing wrong or what's this person doing wrong or who, you know?
Yeah. And we're all cynical. Like, when he said that, I was like, yeah. Like, about myself.
Yeah. He rocked me. I mean, that was just, but like, but now it makes sense why I chose those types of people over and over again. Like, because I'm proving that I'm not safe anytime. Oh, yep. I'm not safe. Told you. Mm-hmm. I told myself.
Yeah.
Wow, Jana. Good job. You really proved it to yourself. Good on you, girl.
Yeah, you did good.
All right. Well, I'm going to just go blow my nose now. So I'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Hey there, mamas. Everyone knows how it goes. You're giving it your all to breastfeed or pump for your little one. But there are times when you might need a little extra help. That's where traditional medicinals Mother's Milk comes in. Mother's Milk is an organic herbal tea blend designed to support healthy lactation for breastfeeding and pumping moms. Plus, it's caffeine free. Learn more about Mother's Milk at traditionalmedicinals.com/mothersmilk. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You know, I don't even know where to start with this because it's the comfort, it's the style, it's the whole look. That's what I love about my Tecovas. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Shop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my host as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.